How about you? Are you dissatisfied with life? We all experience this on small levels when our hearts get drawn away from what God would have us do every day. Consider your ways. The Lord graciously allows His children to be dissatisfied and, as we'll see, disciplines them.
Welcome to this Thursday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, keeping our priorities straight is a tall order, especially for those who may not know which things should be top priority.
Well, Dave, the only way to really know and correctly prioritize our lives is by knowing from God's Word what He says our priorities should be. And in today's broadcast, we're going to see the people started off well, but they ended off heading in a destructive direction that nearly cost them everything simply because they had misplaced priorities. Our passage is found in the book of Haggai, chapter 1, verses 1 through 11.
Well, be sure to stay with us for the end of today's broadcast. Greg will join us in studio with some practical application, and I'll also be back with information on how you can obtain messages from the series for your own library. Now, let's join Greg for today's teaching.
You see, what we do in our time really reveals where our priorities are, by the way. When you make time for the Lord in your heart of hearts throughout the day, that's where your priority is. When you make time for the body of Christ, not in some ritualistic way, but really truly wanting to be around, desiring to be around. I hope you came this morning desiring to praise God. What a wonderful thing that He be glorified. So then, how do we identify misplaced priorities? We have to, first of all, listen to what God says about us. And the way to do that, we have to be in the Word of God. We've got to be in the Word of God. See, God's Word is inspired. All Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate equipped for every good work. Scripture reproves us. It reproves us. It corrects us and it teaches and trains us. So have you heard, thus says the Lord, about your priorities? God's Word will convict you. So with that in mind, how can we identify it? First of all, we need to listen. What is God saying? We need to be in the Word of God and really truly desiring God to change our hearts. Lord, I want to be like You. Help me see my errors. Help me see where I'm wrong. Help me prioritize You, Lord God. And secondly, we need to examine our way, our footsteps, our life. Look at verse 5, back in Haggai, chapter 1. Now, therefore, I've identified you got misplaced priorities, right? Now, therefore, in light of that, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Now He's going to say something. He's going to say, I want you to consider your ways, but within that, I want you to consider what's going on. There are some things happening in your life which should make you consider your ways. We're going to see that God is allowing discipline and hardship so that they might consider their priorities. Because the real issue is they're not about His work. That's what we're going to say. Consider your ways. You have sown much, but harvest little. You eat, but there is not enough to be satisfied. You drink, but there is not enough to become drunk. You put on clothing, but no one is warm enough. These are kind of weird statements because saying you got it, but you don't have it, right? And he who earns wages to put it in a purse with holes. It's just slipping right out. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. The term is emphatic. The second thing we need to do is literally, he says, set your heart, that your mind, on your ways. Well, what are ways? What are our ways? The Hebrew word derech, it speaks of a road or a course or a path. It is your life. It's the course of your actions day to day. What do you do all the time? Where is your heart in that? Where is your heart? Are you about Him and Him changing you and becoming more like Christ in your ways? Or are you just about your own stuff? Let me share some proverbs that are helpful in this. Turn to Proverbs chapter 3. And as you're turning there, I want to remind us that it's through God's Word that we see and understand what our ways really are. Because all the man's ways seem right in his eyes. If you consider your ways based on your own understanding, I'm good. Right? But when you go to the Word of God, it helps us see it rightly. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding in all your ways. The ways is everything you do in life. Acknowledge Him. And He will what? Make your path, or literally your ways. It's the same word. Your ways straight. Proverbs 4:26. Watch the path of your feet and all your ways will be established. Watch the path of your feet. Watch what you do each day. And God watches our ways. Proverbs 5:21. For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord. He watches all his paths. God is watching the ways you are. And he said to Israel there, consider your ways. You're about your stuff and you're not about mine, even though you claim to follow me. You're really about your stuff. You're saying it's not time yet. Proverbs 10:9. He who walks with integrity walks securely, but he who perverts his ways will be found out. Well, what is it that directs our ways? We know thy word is a light unto my path and a lamp unto my, feet. We see in Proverbs 6:23, the commandment is a lamp and the teaching is a light, and reproofs for discipline are the way of life. We need to be reproved. We are so sinful. I am so sinful. My heart and attitude can go wrong so quickly, and I need God's word to convict me, to reprove me. Greg, that's wrong, to expose it, that I would confess it. Lord, I'm sorry, that was wrong. And I desire to be built up and changed and have his word inundating my thoughts, immersing my heart with it. Proverbs 8:32. Now therefore, O sons, listen to me, for blessed are they who keep my ways. Heed instruction and be wise. Do not neglect it. Blessed is the man who listens to me. That's where we find his ways in the word. Proverbs 14:8. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way. Have a right view of your behavior. Have a right view of the way you are walking day in and day out. The highway of the upright, Proverbs 16:17, is to depart from evil. I think of that flight 10, departing from evil right away, right? Turn away. The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. And we see here, tremendous, he who watches his way preserves his life. Watch your way. Watch the path of your feet, which is driven by your heart and where your mind is at, where your thinking is at. Watch what you're thinking about. He who keeps the commandment keeps his soul, but he who is careless in his ways will die. Proverbs 19:16. Listen, my son, and be wise and direct your heart in the way. Proverbs 23, verse 19. Proverbs 23:26. Give me your heart, my son, and let your eyes delight in my ways. Now, there are a ton of verses on people who think they're going the right way, but they're not. And I'll just share one or two. And they're repeated in Proverbs, by the way. There is a way which seems right to a man, but the end is death. When we evaluate ourselves, we're going to fail. We need to have God's word. We need to be going about his ways. Every man's way is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the hearts. Guess what? The Israelites thought, it's not time yet. It's right in our eyes not to do this yet. And God says, is it really right that my house lays in shambles? And your houses are really beautiful. You're running to your own houses. So back to our passage. As you're turning there, one last Proverbs I'll read. Thorns and snares are in the way of the perverse, but he who guards himself will be far from them. Proverbs 22:5. So then back in our passage, we have the command, and it's intensive actually in Hebrew. Consider your way. Set your heart intently on yourself, not for self-elevation, but for self-evaluation in light of God's word. Consider your ways in light of God's word. Consider how you interact, what you're doing, what your priorities in life. Is Jesus the priority in your life? One pastor writes, the challenge to them is expressed in the strongest terms in the Hebrew language. Therefore, think carefully about your ways. Literally, set your heart upon your ways. Calling for the utmost degree of reflection and attention. There's a total lack of negligence and lack of understanding between God's house and what you're doing. You're not seeing it. You're not getting it. Set your heart on your ways. And notice God is going to help them. God's going to help them. He's going to say, guess what? If you look at your ways closely, you'll see also that not only you're about my business, but you're being disciplined. You're being disciplined. Look back at our passage. Again, verse 6. You have sown much, but you harvest little. You eat, but there's not enough to be satisfied. You drink, but there is not enough to become drunk. You put on clothing, but no one is warm enough. He who earns wages to put in a purse with holes. You think they're absolutely poor by that statement. But wait a second, paneling is very expensive. And they each run to their own houses, as we'll see later on. I think the point is here that God is disciplining him, and he is causing things to slip through. And actually, later on, we'll see that he put the word out that they would not get food, that they would not get rain. He is causing them to not receive what they ultimately need, that they would wake up. But here, this speaks of a dissatisfaction. Folks, we in America, we have so much and we are always dissatisfied. We have so much stuff. But we go to bed dissatisfied, like we have nothing. We have so much. One pastor writes, so they lived in a perpetual frustration of discontentment, nothing satisfied. We can't pass over this lesson easily. It's for us. If you devote yourself to sowing and eating and drinking and clothing and earning wages, neglect the ministry of the body of Christ, his temple, you will live in constant frustration. If you spend your time and energy seeking comfort, security from the world and do not spend it for the glory of God, you will always end up in guilt and frustration. If you're a true believer, guess what? It doesn't work to go your own way. God will frustrate that. Praise the Lord, right? Praise the Lord. So here we see those things. We see those things. We are to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Matthew chapter 6. So what do we do? If God reveals it, hey, something's going on in my life. Thus says the Lord of hosts, again, verse 7, consider your ways. Twice, consider your ways. Look at the results of what's happening in your life and think about the direction of your life. Think about the direction of your life. God desires them to realize that dissatisfaction is a symptom of a greater problem. That God is allowing things to slip through their hands. It is a symptom that their priorities are backwards, that they should be about his business and not their own business. That's really all he's trying to say. How about you? Are you dissatisfied with life? We all experience this on small levels when our hearts get drawn away from what God would have us do every day. Consider your ways. The Lord graciously allows his children to be dissatisfied and, as we'll see, disciplines them. Well, what is it God wants them to do? God is faithful. He does not leave us in the dark concerning what he wants us to do, and certainly them too. Look at verse 8. Go up to the mountains, bring wood, and rebuild the temple, that I may be pleased and glorified with it, says the Lord. Hey, this is what I want you to do. It's that clear. Be about the reason why I brought you out of Babylon. Be about the reason why he saved you. We're not here just to live this life and to move through day by day. We're not here to do that. We're here to follow Jesus Christ. And if you're not about his business, you're going to be dissatisfied if you're a true believer. And God's going to discipline you. Be about his business, where he is making you like him every day. You're in his word. You're aligned to convict you. You want to be like him. You want to do what he wants you to do. You're around those also who want to do the same thing. You're committed to Christ. Why did he bring you out of the depths of sin? That you would be made like Christ. Be about that business. Be about the building of his temple, personally and corporately, so that God will be glorified. God is glorified when Christ is magnified in us. God is glorified when we are being made like Jesus. Turn to Luke chapter 12. We see a few exhortations for all of us. Luke chapter 12. You see, yes, God knows we need food and drink and housing and all that stuff. Nothing wrong with that. It's where our hearts are at. Is that everything? Is that what we're focused on? Is that our priority or not? Luke chapter 12, verse 29. And do not seek what you shall eat and what you shall drink, and do not keep worrying, for all these things the nations in the world eagerly seek. All the things those who don't know Jesus eagerly seek. That's what they live for. They live for the basics of life, right? Seek Eagerly seek. But your Father knows you need these things. But seek for His kingdom, and these things shall be added to you. Do not be afraid, little flock, for the Father has gladly chosen to give you the kingdom. Hey, be about His kingdom then, right? Be about Jesus. Sell your possessions, give to charity, make purses which do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven where no thief comes near nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. What's your treasure? Is it the stuff of this world? He says here, you look at verse 35, be dressed in readiness and keep your lamps alit. Look at verse 36. And be like men who are waiting for their master when he returns from the wedding feast, so that they are immediately open the door to him when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom master shall find on the alert when he comes. And look at verse 43. Blessed is the slave whom his master finds so doing when he comes, being about his ways and his work. You were saved for him, not for you. So back to our passage. What should be our priority if we are Christians? His kingdom, the building up of his house, individually and corporately, and as God draws people who don't know him into his house, into salvation. It should be about his business, about him, that priority. Have you come to Jesus Christ? You were saved out of this world. Doesn't mean we don't have a house. Doesn't mean we don't have whatever. It means that's just not on our mind. That's not our focus. God provides those things. What's on my focus is, Lord, I want to follow you today. I want to do the right thing. I want you to help me. Use your word to direct my path. Help me to be a godly man. Help me to interact rightly today when I speak to people. Help me to share your word with boldness and confidence, not in myself, but in you. Help me to be godly. Help me to see when I fail, Lord God. Help me. I trust that you will. Notice back in our passage in Haggai, it's so that he will be pleased and glorified. And then notice he goes back to share why they should consider their ways. Verse 9, you look for much, and behold, it comes to little when you bring it home. I blow it away. God says, I'm the one messing with your life. Believer, if you've got trouble, God allows trouble, we see in Scripture, to obviously test our faith, to prove it's genuine. But he also allows trouble when we're not about his business, by the way. If you are not wholeheartedly submitted to Christ, doesn't mean we don't fail and mess up. I'm not talking about that. But submitted to Christ, when we fail, confessing sin, moving back and following him, you're going to have trouble. You're going to have trouble. Consider your ways. Think carefully upon your lives. Is this going on? Is this going on? If it is, maybe you're not about his business. Verse 9, you look for much, behold, it comes to little. When you bring it home, I blow it away. Why? Declares the Lord of hosts. Because my house, which lies desolate while each one runs to his own house. Let me ask you, is your house, the temple of the Holy Spirit, are you spiritually desolate in your walk with Christ? Is it just the same it was a few years ago? Are you the same in Christ you were? Are you growing? Are you becoming more like Jesus? Are you walking with him? Are you about his business? Because my house lies desolate while each of you runs to his own house. It's like, when you think of running, it's like, that's my priority. I'm getting there, right? Therefore, because of you, it's not God's fault, it's your fault. Because of you, the sky has withheld its dew and the earth has withheld its produce. I call for a drought in the land and on the mountains, on the grain and new wine and on the oil and on the ground. And what the ground produces on men and cattle, all the labor of your hands. Therefore, because of you, I've basically caused things to be difficult in your life. I'm bringing a drought on your life that you might see things, that you might consider your ways. These are the devout ones, by the way, the ones that want to follow the Lord, by the way. And you'll see that God works very graciously and mercifully with them as he is right here. Consider your ways. Do you see things as vain and empty? Do you know him? If you do, maybe you're being disciplined. You know, when we're disciplined, we need to respond rightly to reproof. There's a lot of Proverbs about reproof, but we're running out of time. We see that we are not to reject the discipline of the Lord, nor loathe his reproof. For whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. You know, a good father doesn't let their child do things that are ultimately destructive for them. He instructs and disciplines so that they would change their behavior and their hearts. And guess what? most of the time, when things are really off, it takes some pain to help us think rightly and change our behavior. And maybe some of you are going through some pain right now. Maybe God is saying, hey, I love you so much. Consider your ways. You're not about me. You're about you. You're about you and not about me. Consider your ways. Does your life exhibit any of these symptoms of misplaced priorities? Does your life exhibit any of this? God takes full credit. I blew it away. I did it all. And if you're a true believer and you are going through hardship, ultimately because you're not about his business, God takes full credit. I call for this in your life, that this would be frustrating you, that this would be frustrating you, that this would be this. That you would set your heart upon your paths. And yes, we can have two people with the same, you know, path of behavior or like things they do, but where's your heart? Are you about God's business? Are you about having him build you up? Are you about the body of Christ being built up? Are you about his business and saving others that they may be built up before Christ come so that he will be glorified? I've decided to follow Jesus. Though none go with me, I still will follow. It's a lonely place. If you're a Christian, you probably don't have a lot of friends, except for a few Christians. It's a lonely place. I decided to follow Jesus. For those of you who have already decided, is God saying, consider your ways? He is to me. I hope he is to all of us. We would consider it, and we would be about his business. And I also share to those who don't know him, if you don't know Jesus Christ, your ways are futile. They're empty. They're not satisfying. There's no joy ultimately. There may be happiness here and there based on circumstance. But it is only through Christ, when sin is cleansed from you, you're dirty with sin, and Jesus came and he died, paid the full penalty God requires, which is death. He bore our sins in his body on the cross. He died and he rose from the dead. If you trust in Jesus, God, the Son, who died for you, he will cleanse you of all your sin and you will be forgiven. Forgiven to serve him in joy and peace and not frustration like this. And if it happens, he'll share with, as he does with us, with you, consider your ways.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org.
Friend, before we close today's broadcast, I want to talk to you directly about your eternal destiny. If you were to die right now, do you know where you would spend eternity? If you're unsure, here are some important questions to answer. Do you believe that you are a sinner in need of forgiveness, that you've sinned against a holy God? Do you believe that you are unable to do anything about your sinful condition? Do you believe that Jesus is God, that he took on human flesh, that he came and lived the sinless life and went to the cross and died for your sins? He was buried and rose from the dead 3 days later. Do you believe that his work on the cross was sufficient to forgive you of your sins? Are you willing to acknowledge that until you repent of your sins and turn to the Lord Jesus to save you, that you deserve hell and will be sent there? If you believe these things and want to receive Jesus' offer of eternal salvation, then you need to turn to him and ask him. Whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Father, I thank you so much for your word and your son Jesus. And I pray for those listening today who do not know you, who still are in their sins,
that they would turn from their sin and trust in your Son, Jesus Christ, for salvation, that they would be saved. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for your Son, and it is in his name we pray.
If you've taken that eternally important step, we'd love to come alongside you in your new relationship with Christ. So would you take a moment and contact us? We'd like to send you our new believers packet. In that packet, you'll find a message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt, some helpful Bible study tools, and a Bible. It's our gift to you to help you in your new relationship with Christ. You can request your new believers packet online at etsradio.org, or if you prefer, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And from all of us at Equipping the Saints, welcome to the family.